Welcome to the Hidden Palace with Sky Blaze.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. I am Sky Blaze, and this is the Hidden Palace here on Radio Sega. I know the website is having some issues at the moment, so thank you for everybody who's managed to tune in using the alternate links. I know Serga's been going around trying to make sure that everybody's got the correct alternate link to listen in, so thank you if you have managed to tune in. The topic for the episode today was suggested by Brit Gamer, so thank you to him. Don't forget that you can yourself suggest a topic for Hidden Palace if you want to. Details for that will be at the end of the show. Now, as we all know, Sega no longer produces consoles, the Mega Drive Mini notwithstanding. But even before they had their own consoles on the market, Sega had brought out games on other consoles and computers as well, with varying degrees of success. While some of these games were brought onto Sega consoles later, I'll mainly be referring to the non-Sega consoles and computers that they were ported onto originally. Or later. You get the idea. One such game was Star Trek Strategic Operations Simulator. Now, this was brought out on the G80, Apple II, Atari 5200, Atari 8-bit, and Commodore 64. This game has you piloting the USS Enterprise, battling against Klingons as they attempt to destroy star bases in the area. Now, being released in 1983, excellent year, 1983, the year I was born. Yes, I am that old. It isn't a very graphically impressive game, and there isn't actually any music to speak of, except for the Star Trek theme intro. However, you do get synthesized vocals, which were done by Leonard Nimoy himself, the voice of Spock. Your screen is split into three sections. At the bottom is a first-person view. The top right is a map where you can see yourself, your shields, your photon torpedoes, and warp capability. Sorry. You can see yourself, the Klingons, and any star bases. The top right is your stats and score, where you can see shields, photon torpedoes, and warp capability. Designed as an arcade game, you basically play until the Enterprise is destroyed. Alright. So, let's have some music. Because this doesn't have any... that game didn't have any music, I'm going to have to improvise a little bit. So, there was a Star Trek game that came out on the Mega Drive, or a couple actually, but they were from the later series, so they were Next Generation and Deep Space Nine. So, from Star Trek The Next Generation, Echoes from the Past, this is the main theme, the Star Trek theme. After that, we'll have from Galaxy Force on the Commodore 64, Beyond the Galaxy. So, I hope you enjoy those, and I will speak to you guys again after the music break. Thank you. And we are back. Yeah, turns out that despite Serga and Green Viper's best efforts, the server for RadioSega.net, the website, is still not behaving itself. If you know anybody who's trying to connect, there are alternative links. You can find them on the Radio Sega Discord. They're on the Radio Sega Facebook and they're on our Discord channel. If you know anybody who's having problems, please pass along those links. We want as many people to listen in despite the technical issues. So, commiserations to Viper and Serga, who I know are doing their best to fix these are ongoing problems. I recommend taking a hammer to it. If at first you don't succeed, find a bigger hammer. Right, so for the music we just had was from Star Trek The Next Generation, Echoes of the Past. That was the main Star Trek theme. As Jamie Wonderman correctly said, that theme actually has its origins in Star Trek The Motion Picture, with a theme that was created by Jerry Goldsmith for that movie. The version that's used in the series is a slightly different arrangement, but it's basically the same. Now then, and after that we had Galaxy Force Commodore 64, Beyond the Galaxy. And hello to Danny, who just popped up in the chat. Next up, I'm going to talk about Alien Storm. Now, this was brought onto the Amiga, Atari ST, Amstrad CPC, Commodore 64, and ZX Spectrum in 1991. Yes, as late as that, the microcomputer scene was still going pretty strong. Again, they were pretty similar in style to Golden Axe, but has a futuristic spin. Basically, if you put Aliens and Golden Axe into a blender, this is more or less the game that you would end up with. You can choose one of three characters, Gordon, Scooter, and Carla, each of whom have their own weapons, and there is a slightly odd quirk in the Commodore 64 version, which is the version I remember. If you play in two-player mode, you both have to play as the same character, and you can't choose to play as different ones. This may be due to hardware limitations, but other games did actually manage to do other kind of different characters, at least different colour palettes. So why they couldn't do that themselves, I don't know. The graphics vary. The Amiga and Atari ST look pretty close to the arcade, while the Amstrad CPC and Commodore 64 versions looked like someone stuffed the visuals into a box that was three sizes too small. Look up some pictures, some images or video, you'll see what I mean. This happened a lot. They would basically like either expand the sprites or they'd like put huge black boxes around the gameplay screen for no readily apparent reason. The ZX Spectrum version has a limited colour palette because it was a ZX Spectrum. And the main game plays all in black and white. Not only this, but the first level, it's look as though you're fighting sentient blobs of cookie dough. No, really. Look it up. Now, most of these versions have their own music. The only one that doesn't is the ZX Spectrum, again, because the ZX Spectrum was one of the cheapest devices available on the market at the time, so it was pretty limited. It did have its advantages though, because it was so inexpensive and it came with a version of BASIC, it was pretty much kickstarted the whole bedroom coding scene in the UK, because you could basically get hold of it for relative peanuts and learn how to program on it. It's the same kind of ethos that brought forth the Raspberry Pi. Of which I have one of those, and they're brilliant. Electropagulu is saying Alien Storm is originally by Team Shinobi, who did Golden Axe, Altered Beast, and various other Sega games. Which would explain the similarity. Nicholas Hamam has just put up a rather lovely image of the Alien Storm title screen, which says, converted by US Gold. US Gold, for those who don't know, were a fairly prolific porting farm back in ye olden days. Right, before I run out of talk about music, I'm going to move on. In fact, I'm going to loop that. So I know that I would probably be drawn and quartered if I didn't mention this, so let's talk a bit about Quartet. Brought out in 1987 for the Amstrad CPC, Commodore 64, and ZX Spectrum, it was originally a four-player arcade game. And due to various limitations, not just the hardware, but the availability of controller and keyboard space, meant that that the four-player option would be dropped to being one or two-player. Meaning it was sometimes better known by another name, which was Double Target, or Cynthia no Nemuri. Similar to Alien Storm, you can gather that visually you'd have the same experience, although the Commodore 64 version does look a little bit better when compared to the Commodore 64 version of Alien Storm. Now, one thing that a lot of the membership of Radio Sega's Discord chat will know is that the main theme from Quartet, particularly the arcade version, sounds pretty similar to the theme from Twinkle Park in Sonic Adventure and also It Doesn't Matter, Sonic's theme from Sonic Adventure. You may judge for yourselves whether or not this is accurate. Obviously I'm playing the Commodore 64 version, but have a close listen, let me know what you think. And if you've played any of the games that I've mentioned so far, or you have any memories of playing any Sega games on microcomputers back in the day, let me know on Discord or Twitter or Facebook, and I'll read out your comments on it. Alright, let's have, from Alien Storm arcade version, this is Mission 5 Stage 1. And then from Quartet Commodore 64 version, there's the Quartet theme. I did say it was the Commodore 64 version. I did say. So you were warned, and if it earworms you, then... Well, yes, that is my fault, but I don't care. Because I'm evil and stuff. What's this? Jamie's saying, have you read the notes to the SID file on Quartet from Lemon 64? I have not. What's this? Quartet theme intro only covers the intro decrease sound, four covers for the rest of the clip. Greatly shortened compared to the original. Well, yes. Okay. Track 1 and track 4 are tied to the theme. Yes. And Doan is saying, ow. I say ow, but I'll find myself humming it in half an hour. Yes! It's annoying. Nicholas Savard is like, it's annoying because I can't get it out of my head. Yes! Isn't it great? I've blathered, so I'll have to loop my talk pad again. I'm going to run over at this rate. Oh, where the hell was I? What was I talking about? Where is my script? Who am I? Where am I? What's going on? Right, yes, okay. So, that was Quartet, the Commodore 64 version, and before that we had Alien Storm Arcade, Mission 5, Stage 1. That same tune is also used in several of the stages and missions, but that's how it's labelled on here. So, there you go. So, following on, we have Desolator, which is also known as the Halls of Kairos, or Kairos no Yakata. This is an overhead beat-em-up brought out in 1988 for the Amstrad CPC, Atari ST, Commodore 64, and ZX Spectrum. You might hear those popping up repeatedly. They were some of the biggest systems during that period in the UK, certainly in the UK and a lot of Europe. So your main objective in Desolator is to wade vertically through rooms of constantly spawning enemies in hopes of reaching Kairos, who is an evil demon, who is holding a vast number of people captive inside mirrors that are found along your journey through the halls of Kairos. This was originally an arcade port, which I would expect that it would at some point have appeared on the Mega Drive or Master System, but I don't think that ever happened. It has actually then kind of disappeared into relative obscurity. I couldn't find a lot of music for it, unfortunately. I did try, but because it's kind of descended into relative obscurity, I had a real problem. So I'm gonna have to cheat a bit for this section, fortunately. Moving on, those who have watched Wreck-It Ralph, you'll be aware of this game, Tapper. It was brought out in 1984 to 85 for various consoles and computers, including the Apple II, Atari 2600, Amstrad CPC, BBC Micro, Commodore 64, and ZX Spectrum. In it, you play as a barman whose job is to make sure all of your customers have a drink. You have at least 4 bars to serve, and patrons making their way towards you desperate for a drink. Fail to slide them a drink, or let an empty glass smash on the floor, and you will lose a life. There are actually a couple of different versions of this. The original version of Tapper suggests that it's beer, but there were later versions that were called Root Beer Tapper, which suggests that is, as you would guess, root beer. Some of them were even sponsored, I think, by drinks companies. Between levels, you also get a small mini-game where you watch someone shake a number of fizzy drinks cans and they all move around. After this, you have to pick up one which hasn't been shaken for bonus points. If you fail to do this, then it will explode and cover you in froth. Now, most versions of this game do have similar-sounding music, but the ZX Spectrum version, I don't know what was going on with that, but there is a... Basically, it's a dreadful droning noise that's not entirely kind on the ears, and certainly not I would describe as music. The first time I found it on YouTube, I thought this must be a really bad capture or a really bad recording, but no, I listened to 3 different versions, and it all sounded the same, with the same kind of irritating buzzing noise throughout. So I have the greatest and most profound of sympathy for anybody who ended up with that version of the game. However, I have to fit in a couple of requests some point in this episode. So, requested by Mr. Jamie Wonderman from Super Monaco GP on the Commodore 64. This is BGM 01, also known as the main theme. And after that, requested by Electric Boogaloo, we have from Turbo Outrun FM Towns, Keep Your Heart. So I hope you enjoy those, and I will speak to you guys again after the music break.
To Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music 24/7. We'll be right back.
are back. And that was Turbo Outrun FM Town's version, Keep Your Heart, which was requested by Electric Boogaloo. And before that, from Super Monaco GP Commodore 64 version, that was BGM 01, also known as the main theme, requested by Mr. Jamie Wonderman. FM Town's is technically a microcomputer, sort of. Because it's not an IBM compatible, so technically it's a microcomputer. It's similar to something that's going to be playing later, the X68000. It straddles the line between computer and microcomputer, but I cheat a lot, so it's my show, and it was a great track, so thank you for the request there, Electric Pooling. Now then. Right. So now we have Sonic Boom. No, not that one. Not that one either. This was in fact a vertical shoot-em-up that was brought out in 1987 for the Amiga, Amstrad CPC, Atari ST, Commodore 64, and ZX Spectrum. That's that list again. In it, you pilot a fighter jet as you fight across six levels in an attempt to stop the world from being destroyed by an evil fanatic group. As you may have gathered at this point, graphically the Amiga is the best looking from the lot and appears to have retained a lot of the game's features, including music power-ups and ease of controlling from the arcade version. Other versions, such as the Atari ST, experience slowdown of the gameplay, making it a little bit more difficult to control. And the Amstrad and ZX Spectrum version sadly loses the music of the game, meaning apart from the intro and sound effects, the game has very little atmosphere. So, what have we got in the chat? Mr. Woman was saying, wow, and I thought the Commodore 64 had a great sound check. Yeah, I need to look at more information about the FM Towns because I don't know as much about it as I really should do, because it's fairly obscure. It's Japanese, so a lot of the information on it is in Japanese, and it's a bit of a pain in the backside to find. Maybe I'll talk about it in an episode one day. Green Viper's saying, listen to my FM Towns episode. It's one of my least favourite for the talking segments, but the music is so great. That's interesting. I wonder if I can find some more tracks from that. Electrical is saying this also counts the X68000. Yeah, there's the next music section is going to have a track from that machine. And Doan's saying, I like the X68000. It has Star Trader on it. That time Falcom decided to make an arcade shmup. Yes, it's a strange-looking device, the Sharp X68000, but it's got a pretty interesting history. Not really sure if I can legit talk about it. Could we have gotten away with requesting this, the Mega PC? No, because that's a PC, it's an IBM compatible, so it doesn't count. Ditto for the Amstrad, whatever the hell it was called. Whose name I've forgotten. The Amstrad thing with the Mega Drive built in. Right, let's have some more music then. So from Sonic Boom arcade version, we've got Stage 3 and 5. And after that, requested by Green Viper 8, we have Afterburner 2 on the X68000, the track Final Takeoff. Alright then, we'll listen to those, and after the break I'll be back for Chiptune Corner. So enjoy, and I'll speak to you guys again in a bit.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music 24/7. Sega!
Really good tracks from the X68000 version of Afterburner 2. That was Final Takeoff, which, as Green Viper said in the chat, sounds really very, very good for a microcomputer version. Before that, we had Sonic Boom arcade version. That was Stage 3 and 5. And again, it's actually a really good track. Electric Boogaloo pointed out that the composer for most of Galaxy Force and Quartet, as well as the Sonic Boom track that I played, was Katsuhiro Hayashi, who's had quite the representation on here, although he didn't do the particular Galaxy Force track that I played earlier. And the website's died again. So, I know Sega and Green Viper are running around like the proverbial flies with blue posteriors trying to fix it. Viper's also doing the social for my show on Twitter, so he's a very busy boy, and I thank them very much for all the hard work that they're doing. Now, on to Chiptune Corner. And hello to my husband. Who's not actually in the house at the moment, who's on his travels somewhere. Woa is also working on fixing the website, so there's a team effort going on at the moment, trying to restore everything. And I think Woe is actually right next to the physical device that controls the server, so people are poking it in various directions, I think. Anyway, Chipchin Corner then. Superbike 2 just said that he's got a real full-time job today, and it's not involving driving a coach. So many congratulations to him. I think he deserves a round of applause. So well done to him. Right, back to what I was supposed to be talking about. Loop the talk bit. So you might think, you might be under the impression that Chipchin Corner would be redundant considering the theme of this week's show. Not so! For this week, I would like to introduce you to Chipchone and demo scene artist Ultracid, who is a French musician who mostly makes music using an Atari ST and Game Boy. You can find his SoundCloud on a link that I will drop into the Discord chat. There we go. And here from Ultracid is a track called Colour Lines. So I hope you enjoy that. Let me know what you think. And I will be back after the musical break to sign off, and then we'll have one last track before I end the show. So here is Ultracid with Colour Lines. And that was Call Lines from Ultracid, and you can check out his other work on his SoundCloud, which has a link on the Discord chat. I might put it on Twitter later. So thank you everybody for tuning in today. Please stay tuned for a pre-recorded edition of Saturday Night Sega. I think it's pre-recorded, yes? Somebody will correct me if I'm wrong. And if you have any ideas for a topic for me to cover here on the Hidden Palace, you can contact me through the Discord chat, where you'll find me on the Radio Sega Discord. I am SkyBlaze42 on there. Or you can reach me on Twitter, where I am at Blazing Skies. Or you can contact me through the Radio Sega Twitter or Facebook page. So, as I said earlier, today's episode was suggested by Brit Gamer. I'm not sure if he's listening in today, but thank you to everybody else who's been in the chat. So, Superbike and Jamie and Greyfall, who still isn't home yet, I assume he'll be back in a bit. And Danny and Serga and Doan and who else have we got? I'm sure there was somebody else in here. Nicholas Amam, I'll get on to you in a minute because you requested a song on Twitter and I will be playing it. Electric Boogaloo, of course. And anybody else who has been listening in and lurking. Thank you ever so much for tuning in. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Here is one last track, which was requested by Nicholas Avam on Twitter, and here is from Virtua Fighter 4, Without Hesitation. So I hope you enjoy that. Thank you everybody for listening. Good night, and take care. Oh, and turns out the Radio Sega website is sort of back. It's a little bit unstable, but it can be used again. So with that, I've been SkyBlaze. This has been The Hidden Palace here on Radio Sega. Here is Virtua Fighter 4 Without Hesitation. Thanks a lot. Good night, everyone.
Enjoyed the show? Check out the full Radio Sega live schedule at radiose.ga/shows. Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music 24/7.